callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to Problem Corner on KFAR, 660 on your AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial. We also live stream at KFAR.com. If you'd like to call into the show today, our number is 458-TALK. That's 458-8255. I'm your guest host, Brett Roderman. David has, once again, been kind enough to let me pinch hit for him today and tomorrow. So we're off and running. As many of you know, I'm a local business owner here in town, but I also sit on the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. So with that, I'd first like to say that these views are mine. They're mine alone. They do not represent the Fairbanks North Star Borough, nor the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. And if you've been paying attention, we recently passed an ordinance where technically I don't have to say that disclaimer anymore, but I like to throw it in anyway just to be safe. So, once again, like to, you know, this is our local show, like to talk about local things. Tammy Wilson was supposed to be my guest today. She had to do some stuff out at the Newby Park restoration, you know, where the borough, if you've been paying attention, we're going to lease that out to a private group who is going to start to run that. We're still working out the details of that. So she went out there to help out a little bit. So I called my friend Will Stapp, and I said, "Will, would you be willing to pinch hit here today?" And I know Will's pretty good at talking. He likes to talk on the radio a lot, and he just came from the Alaska Defense Forum and was kind enough to break away to help me out here. So, Will, good morning.
Good morning, Brett. It's always a pleasure to be here, and I guess I'm just a glutton for punishment.
That's right. But I really appreciate you stepping in here at the last second. So the Alaska Defense Forum, what is it?
Well,
why is it important?
It's important. Okay, so it is, the Alaska Defense Forum basically is a conglomeration of defense contractors, our military partners, federal partners, and really your associated supply chain folks. And they all congregate here in Fairbanks to talk about the exciting investments that DoD is investing in our town and how we can better facilitate and coordinate that type of thing. So you get people from all over. So like I said, it's kind of weird to go to an event in Fairbanks and then half the people you don't recognize because they don't actually live here. So we do get a ton of folks in, a lot of folks from D.C., a lot of folks from California, Colorado, and in defense industries. And we talk about integrating the big push for U.S. Arctic strategy, and how we at the local level can be a better partner to a lot of these installations, and one, meeting their needs, and two, ensuring that we have kind of the communal base to be able to support this continued investment in our town, right? And just to kind of put that in perspective, there's kind of the domestic military investment, obviously the 11th Airborne Division, the expansion of the troop counts on Fort Wainwright, and of course the KC-130s, and of course we had the F-35s in Eielson. But as America's geostrategic, enemies is probably a fine term, but I would say adversaries, right, like China, North Korea, Russia, kind of ramp up their Arctic presence. So you're going to see more of an investment in Alaska in the defense industry, and that has a pretty good trickle-down effect in our economy, right? So I talk about all the time, Fairbanks, you know, about a third of our consumption spending is driven by the military, Air Force and Army base. So it's a big deal. And honestly, most of our population growth is going to come from, you know, letting the service members and the airmen and the Army soldiers know that Fairbanks is a good community and settle down. There's economic opportunity here, especially to stay in a similar field.
Yeah, I mean, so, it's amazing how many of these folks, a lot of our Alaska transplants, you know, like yourself. You were a military transport. Yeah, you came here. Love to hear your story of living in a school bus.
I tell people,
with your buddy and.
Yeah, I came here when I was 19, a month after my 19th birthday. I grew up in the Seattle suburb of Kirkland, you know, made famous by Costco, and I was in the infantry. I just finished airborne school as a paratrooper, and ended up getting to Fairbanks in November 2006 in the 172nd Striker Brigade Combat Team at 423 Infantry. And I remember getting off the plane. It was 35 below, and that was the old airport before it got all nice, you know, and thinking, what on earth have I done, you know?
Right, yeah. And if I remember right, 06, that was one of the, I think that was one of our colder winters, too.
Yeah, it was a cold winter, and then I tell folks I loved it so much, I volunteered to go fight in Fallujah, Iraq at the beginning of 07 with the Airborne Brigade in Anchorage because I wanted to get out of the cold, you know?
Right.
So,
yeah. But no, I mean, you know, the military does play just an enormous role in town, you know? I mean, certainly, you know, as a small business owner, you know, I'm dealing with the military on so many different levels.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
trailers, especially.
Trailers, yeah. Snow plows, mm-hmm. you know, support vehicles. I mean, I've got a rig in right now from range control at Fort Wainwright. We're putting a Tommy gate on the back of the truck.
Oh, yeah.
You know, this is all stuff that, you know, helps keep my business going, keep my guys employed. Yep. And then, you know, not to mention all the soldiers that are coming through, you know, you know, it's an incredible amount of money that it really is.
The consumption spending is amazing, right? Especially anything in terms of like car dealerships and stuff like that. I mean, where else do you have the lower 48 that you're gonna get 500,000 new soldiers every 3 years buying cars locally? You know, I mean, that's. That's always good. I mean, I was one of those people, too. I mean, look, I did all the things you probably shouldn't do when you purchase things in the Army. You know, I drove off base to the old the airport. It's a pot shop now, but it used to be like, I forget, like something auto sales. And I bought an SUV there at 13.5% interest or something.
right.
I did refinance it after my first year. I wasn't that financially literate, but I didn't have credit. You know, I was a 19-year-old kid, no credit, you know.
Right.
So.
Yeah. No, it's, you know, all this stuff and this money. You know, it just keeps going in circles in this community, you know, and it's coming in, you know, it's fresh money coming in from outside, you know, and obviously at this defense forum, you know, we're talking about, you know, potential contractors that are going to bring in huge amounts of money.
So this is the thing I tell folks too. So I have a kind of favorite saying is in life you play with the cards that you're dealt, right? So why is it important that we as a community really rally behind these institutions when they come and want to invest in our town? And the thing is, we don't have the same advantages in competition as other people in Lower 48, right? We don't have the level of infrastructure of, say, Colorado or Virginia. We don't have the weather, you know. So the one thing we can have as far as the experience is say, hey, there's not going to be a community that is going to be more behind this type of investment than in Fairbanks, right? And the one thing about me when I was 19, I was, I was a young infantry soldier, but I recognized that pretty early on in my time at Fairbanks. And I tell people because, you know, the story, I had my first Christmas away from home, right? It was Christmas 2006, and the Army had a program that, you know, you get voluntold to do things. So I was told that I needed to go have Christmas with a local Fairbanks person, you know? And I tell people I ended up having, you know, some of my friends, they went up to places on Skyline or, you know, out in West Fairbanks and like Seekins' house or something like that. And I got picked up by a cab with my buddy at Fort Wainwright. We drove to the backside of Miller Hill, and the cab let us out in front of a school bus that had been converted with a wood stove in it, you know. And I had my first Christmas. There's an old lady there named Charlotte Fitzhugh, and she had made Christmas dinner for me and my friend, and we had it inside her school bus house, and that was kind of amazing. It was like, who are these Fairbanks people?
You know? That's awesome. All right, well, we're going to pick it up there because that is a great story, but we're going to go to our first commercial break here, and we'll be back with Will Stepp right after this.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fish on! The Valdez Fishing Report is brought to you by Frontier Outfitters. Drop in and explore their extensive fishing department. Rods to reels, lures to lines. You'll see fresh and saltwater, as well as fly fishing tackle for every game fish in Alaska. Stock up on supplies for your Alaska-sized summer of fun. Coolers to camping gear. Frontier Outfitters is your first stop to making your next outdoor adventure a success. Your store for the outdoors. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
It's time for the Valdez Fishing Report. Interviews, derby standings, tips, and advice for Prince William Sound.
When asked what he was thinking when he saw his 364.8-pound halibut come out of the water, Lloyd Fanter responded with, "I was absolutely amazed by how big the lips were, and it was a really big fish." Fanter said he was born and raised in Alaska and has been fishing halibut since he can remember. "Each chance I get, I'm out here fishing." When asked what he does in the winter, Fanter said, "I just do a little bit of ice fishing, but I also do a little bit of DoorDash on the side, so I don't have a bunch of income coming out of my bank account." Fanter said he wasn't sure what he would do with the $10,000 if his fish hung on to win the first prize in the Valdez Halibut Derby, but mentioned possibly paying some towards his house or buying a new duck hunting gun. The Valdez Silver Salmon overall derby winners currently are Addison Lyons of Port Fall, Idaho in first place with 15.14-pound salmon, Adrena Stoner from Fairbanks, Alaska with 14.72 pounds, James Mail in third place of North Pole with 14.64 pounds, and in the halibut derby overall in first place is Lloyd Fanter of Eagle River, Alaska with 264.8 pounds, second place is James Cook of Bremner, Washington with 210 pounds, and in third place is Mel Grove of Palmer, Alaska with 185.4 pounds.
Park your rig, pitch a tent, or check into your private cabin at Eagles Rest RV Resort, then explore Valdez. Eagles Rest RV Resort is the perfect place to land in Valdez. Book RV sites, glamping tents, and cabins online at eaglesrestrv.com. We now accept online reservations for our tent area. Nothing beats summer in Valdez, so the sooner you book, the better. eaglesrestrv.com. See you in Valdez.
KVAK's Valdez Fishing Report. Fish Valdez and reel in a big one.
KFAR weather.
Slight chance for rain today, otherwise mainly cloudy. Daytime highs approaching 68. South winds 5 to 10 miles per hour. Slight chance of rain tonight. Lows dip down to about 51. Overcast skies. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow. Slight chance of rain. High temperatures reach up to 68. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
All right, Fairbanks, we're back in the studio here with Representative Will Stapp, and I'm your guest host, Brett Rodermond. And during the break, you know, Will and I were just talking that, you know, it's possible a lot of people don't realize that, you know, one of the few sources of fresh incoming money and people to our little town here is the military. With, you know, we were literally talking, if you took our two military bases away, Fairbanks would, it would truly be a ghost town.
Yeah.
You know, there's only so much local money to go around here, but it's a ginormous cash infusion, you know, when you think about it.
So yeah. And there, you know, they've done so much construction. I know a lot of folks don't get out on base that much. And you know, I've worked really closely with the garrison commander and division commander and the brigade commander out on Fort Wainwright to try to establish as many civilian partnerships as possible to get more access out of there. And I think they've definitely progressed in a long way. But, I mean, they have a new child care facility. They have a new aquatic center. They have a new community center. They're building a brand-new gym. And the old gym, I thought, was great. I mean, I go there all the time.
But, and most of this is built by our
local labor,
contract.
Huge wages, big contracts, you know. I mean, it's just an amazing investment in our community right now.
Right.
And it certainly has big-time trickle-down effects. So that's obviously super important. And that's you know, that's generally why it's important for us to kind of have events like the Defense Forum and bring in people, because we want to continue to improve that relationship and look for more capital investment and, you know, business investment in Fairbanks.
Right. So I've never been to the defense forum, never been invited, you know, as a borough official. I'm assuming, you know, our mayor is there. I assume that the mayor attends this.
Yeah, I think most people will be there inevitably. So I started off this morning, you know, I'm the only legislator there currently. Senator Geisel flew up from Anchorage, and Senator Kawasaki is also there. And more people will come throughout the day. We will have a legislative panel tomorrow. And today, different types of things. But it is a pretty dynamic type of information. And I would say, you know, like there's some city council folks there. But, you know, like a lot of the information, though, you have to have – it's just more easy to understand if you have a geostrategic background or you have a military background, right? So it's, right. So I find it more interesting because I come from that world, you know. And, you know, there's breakout sessions and different things. So you have a plethora of opportunity to kind of listen to people and their concerns and stuff right. like that. So,
yeah, one of my regrets in life was that I didn't serve in the military. You know, most people, when they see my haircut, they assume that I served in the military. But no, I didn't. And it definitely was a regret of mine, you know. So I lack, you know, that experience.
Yeah. Just to kind of drive home the point here, I think. You know, the future of really military and investment of warfare is really going to be around drones. We see that right now in Ukraine and Russia at that war. And there really isn't a better place to test all that stuff out than right here in the interior.
Right.
Like, because when you think of airspace restrictions and the types of things that you want to do to have as most realistic training as possible. So we should be really excited about the future of that, especially if we can get Secretary Hegseth to come up here and look at our training area in Fairbanks. Because when I say that there is literally no place that the Army has that it can be more conducive and more productive with drone warfare than Fairbanks is like 100%, right? And we have a quasi up at the university who's doing a lot of these civilian and military purposes. But when I say like the stuff that you want to do, i.e. you want to have unrestricted airspace, you want to have wire-guided drones for... you want to have FPVs, which is first-person viewer, and you want to smash them into stuff and blow up stuff and see how you can simulate combat with helicopters and different type of aircraft. Like, there are very few places in this entire country on any military installation where you can do that, as well as you can do that potentially in Fairbanks.
Right.
And also deal with challenges, like cold weather, warm weather, right? So the opportunities to really continue that mission, which... I was talking to the colonel today, the new garrison commander, great guy, and we were talking about how, like any bureaucracy, I'm in state government, bureaucracies are just relatively terrible people. I mean, like, the one positive that I always take away from state government at Juneau is there is an unlimited amount of inefficient things that I can spend my time on fixing.
Right. Right? Yes.
So it is kind of exciting, you know. Right. It's like whenever you walk into a place and you're like, oh, man.
You can spend the rest of your life
I can spend the rest of my life fixing right. this madhouse. You
right.
know? But I tell people, like, okay, so the Army is very slow to react to this. And all of our doctrines basically are antiquated by this innovation in warfare. And basically, you know, modern warfare comes down to like maneuver warfare. It's called air-land battle. You can call it combined arms doctrine, whatever. And that all revolves around concentrations of large forces and then maneuvering around enemy fortifications. Well, drone and ISR, which is like a... you know, visual intelligence, stuff like that, that makes it almost impossible to concentrate large forces in an area because you become a target for long-range weapon systems, which are way more advanced. So I don't know how you take ground at a decent pace when you can't concentrate what's called combat power and, like, have a breakthrough or take it or something like that. And I don't think most people know either, because I think that's what the Russia-Ukraine war basically is showing us, right? It's like we're all the way back in 1916 and where everyone has trenches on the front lines.
Right.
And they gain kilometers here and there, but the front line hasn't moved dramatically in almost 3 years of warfare.
Right.
You know? So, and it's kind of a, you know, it's hard for me to fathom, and I, you know, obviously the current crop of commanders and stuff have way more time in the Army than I did, but it's hard for me to see a solution to that problem, you know what I mean,
right.
other than just an absolute attritional bloodbath that is the Russia-Ukraine war.
You know, going back to, you know, what you were talking about, you know, our airspace and the opportunities for training and testing up here. So I get to meet a lot of, you know, military guys through my business, and they, and a lot of these guys are pilots. You know, they're either, you know, helicopter pilots in the Army, or they're big iron pilots, you know, in the Air Force. And it's always so fun when they find out that I'm a pilot, and they just think that I'm like the coolest thing since sliced bread, because I've got a 185 on floats, you know. Yeah. And they're like, oh, man, if you ever want to take somebody flying, you just call me. And I was like... Yeah. Dude, you get to fly multi-gajillion dollar aircraft every day, and it is, you know. But the, like you said, the airspace, our airspace here is mostly Class E and Class G, and the way we remembered Class G was G stood for Go Man Go. Yeah. It's completely unrestricted, and with all of the you know, you look at an aeronautical map of the area here, and we have we are surrounded by MOAs, MOAs, military operation areas.
Yeah,
and it is a gazillion acres out there for these guys that can go hammer down. They say they get to do stuff here. You know, I get to talk to some of these red flag guys that come from you know, all over the country, and sometimes all over the world. The training opportunities here are outrageous, especially when you bring guys from overseas, like in Europe and stuff like that. They can't do any of the stuff that
And this is so I go to JPMRC every year, and that's our big annual event in the wintertime. And it's like, I mean, when I tell you, when Brett, you're absolutely right. Most people don't realize that we are bringing in top minds in combat arms from all over NATO and different countries for events like JPMRC. Like, I sat next to the first Command Sergeant Major of Canada, which I only have like two of them. You know, and generals from Japan and stuff like that. And they're blown away by the things that we do here and how we operate in extreme conditions. And and that's only going to get more lucrative for the community going forward.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. And it's, and again, it's just the money that comes in here, the exposure, the people. Look, you know, look at these people, like you were talking about, these people that are coming in here from all over the world. Yep. Maybe they've never been to Alaska.
Yeah, you know? I had dinner with the Brigadier General from India. He's the liaison for the Indian government in the Indian military in Washington, D.C. He's the only one, right? Mm-hmm. And he was just, you know, I went to the JPMRC with him, and then I saw him at Lavelle's before they closed, and he asked me if I'd have dinner with him. I said, sure, you know, and then he talked about his time as a commander in the Indian Army Division and stuff like that. And it's just really good connections, because they all love it. Because from them, what they're thinking of is like, okay, well, they have high-altitude Arctic weather training too, because they have a Himalaya front with the Chinese, right? So it wouldn't be great if they could send an operational unit to Alaska and train here with us in these modern warfare techniques.
Right. So, and not to mention, it's almost like our own little reality show. You know, you look at what reality TV has done for Alaska, bringing in tourists, bringing in money. Well, when these folks come, you know, they're bringing their minions, if you will, you know, their staff. They're all getting exposed to Alaska. These are all, they're spending money here.
Yeah.
They're eating out, they're spending money, and they might come back, you know. It's just kind of weird how that it all goes full circle. But again, it's that massive influx of cash and knowledge, you know, that comes in here.
And you know, guys, in the Army, especially in the infantry, I tell folks, Alaska is a very special place to be stationed at, because you don't have to deal with the level of bureaucratic nightmare that you deal with in literally every other installation.
Right, right. So. Okay, well, we're going to go to the bottom of the hour break here, and we'll be back after this with Representative Will Stapp.
Yeah.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM. 668.
Fox News, I'm John Saucier. President Trump with a cabinet meeting today praising efforts of federal troops in decreasing crime in Washington, D.C.
Those are not politically correct troops. We don't have politically correct anymore. We have tough guys, tough people, including some tough women. But we have tough people.
Some local officials have criticized the deployments of federal troops to D.C., arguing it's not necessary at a time when crime has been falling. New York Democratic Governor Kathy Hochul speaking out after the president signed an executive order trying to pressure states to end cashless bail. The New York governor says the president is wrong about her state.
We don't have cashless bail in the state of New York. He thinks we do, but we don't. So he has no concept of how our laws work here.
New York has eliminated bail for most nonviolent offenses as part of a 2019 reform law. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has called for changes to the law to make it easier to jail repeat offenders. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
The Fairbanks Daily Newsminer reports that U.S. military jets from Alaska scrambled three times last week to intercept Russian military surveillance aircraft flying near U.S. airspace, according to a NORAD news release. On Wednesday, NORAD detected an Aleutian IL-20 spy plane operating in the Alaska Air Defense Identification Zone just outside sovereign U.S. airspace. NORAD dispatched two Alaska-based F-16s and a KC-135 air refueler to identify and track the plane until it left the airspace, which extends 150 miles off the state's coastline. On Thursday, NORAD detected a second IL-20 in the airspace and scrambled two F-16s, a KC-135, and an E-3 AWACS surveillance plane. On Sunday, NORAD deployed two more F-16s, an E-3, and two KC-135s to intercept yet another Aleutian IL-20. According to NORAD, the Russian planes did not enter U.S. or Canadian airspace. The last reported Russian aircraft incursion into Alaska airspace occurred in July.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Americans are bitterly divided, right? That's the story the media fertilizes and waters daily. But the majority of Americans, of Alaskans, believe in the greatness of our constitutional republic, where power resides with the people. My name's Matt Halala. I'm a Republican, and I'm running for governor. The things Alaskans argue about, education, public safety, healthcare, transportation, a permanent fund dividend, all require a healthy economy. Right now, Alaska can't afford a ham sandwich. But the president, our congressional delegation, and the governor have put an economic boom within our grasp. As governor, I commit to being hands-on, working with all legislators to make that boom a reality. I pledge to look you in the eye and keep my word every day. Alaskans are sick of political gridlock. It's time to make the rubber hit the road. My name's Matt Halala, and this was paid for by Matt Halala for Governor.
Nowadays, nothing is more important than saving money. And the best way to do that is with the radio station's 50-50 Friday offer. Every week, a different special from a different local business, offering gift certificates at half price. All from your favorite restaurants, shops, and events. So what's this week's 50-50 Friday offer?
Get your $50 gift certificate for just $25. Step into Lycan, Fairbanks' one-of-a-kind shop for cozy, Nordic-inspired living. Owned by two lifelong local artists, Lycan is packed with nature-inspired, handcrafted arts, gifts, and decor from over 100 artisans, many made right here in Alaska. Located downtown on 3rd and Cushman and online at shoplikenliving.com. Lycan adds unique finds daily. Looking for something meaningful? Find art, jewelry, plants, and homewares that'll help you live with intention. Lycan, where nature meets design.
Just log on to this station's website and click on that red 50-50 tag in the upper right-hand corner. Have your credit card ready and get ready to save big. 50-50 Friday, every Friday at 9 a.m. from the radio station.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, Fairbanks, we're back in the studio. I'm your guest host for Problem Corner, Brett Roterman, and with me I have Representative Will Stapp, and talking a little bit about the Alaska Defense Forum and how important that is to our local economy. During the break, we thought maybe we'd move on to some state issues. So I figure probably while we've been on the air, we've had at least two more people enter the governor's race.
Yeah,
I'm dying to know who has recently jumped in.
Well, another 700,000 people, and you too could be the next governor of Alaska.
There you go.
I mean, Let's say recently, I guess Adam Crum's now former revenue commissioner Adam Crum, Treg Taylor, the attorney general, resigned. He's going to announce here, like in July. I'm trying to get more summer back, folks. That's what I'm trying to
yes.
do. You know.
Yes, hunting season is right around the corner.
But it is. And Brett and I were talking about this during the break. It is an interesting experience going down at Juneau. So I tell folks, you definitely get to see kind of what the other elected officials are made of and what they're not made of. So one of the things that happens to folks in Juneau is you have a bunch of interest groups and a bunch of lobbyists and a bunch of people in general. And it should be very black and white that a lot of these people treat you kindly and say nice things about you because they want things from you, right? But you would be amazed by how that level of being surrounded by, you know, I call them sycophants. Don't want to be rude if you're one of the sycophants, right? So they praise these people and they kind of build up their egos. And a lot of these people go, you know what? I should be governor and I can be governor and all this type of stuff. And they also have a kind of underpinned belief that everyone in the state knows who they are and everything they've done, because all they get is this kind of positive feedback loop from a bunch of people who, quite honestly, would just ditch them as soon as they're out of elected office because they're no longer useful, you know. And I don't know, I think of my own life, right? So my mom died when I was 7, my dad wasn't around, right? So everything I had kind of did, I had to grind for, if that makes sense. Like, so I'm very suspicious of people's motivations when they're like super praising of me, you know? So I don't want to seem a little, paranoid. But I mean, I watch it happen all the time. I watch people go down to Juneau and I watch senators and you know, House members, and they all get all the smoke kind of blown up and their ego puffed up. And a lot of them, some of them are really talented and smart people. A lot of them are not, you know. A lot of them don't have good work ethics. They're not very articulate. They don't have good experience, you know. They did win their election, so that's always something, you know. And then they want to go jump in the governor's race, you know. So it's, like I said, flattery is a hell of a drug, I guess.
Yeah, you know, that I've had people ask me, you know, if I ever have political aspirations to move on to Juneau, you know, and ask me if I would ever make a state run. And my honest answer to them is no, you know, it's certainly not at this time. I enjoy the local level. One of the things that I see, I haven't seen it so much in you. I think you went down there with a completely different viewpoint. You're a very practical person and you're very money oriented. Yep. You know, you're great at money and budgets and figuring stuff out. But the one thing I've noticed is I think a lot of people go down there and it kind of ruins them.
Yeah.
You know, it just gets under their skin. They don't seem to come back the same person as when they went down there.
Yeah. This kind of goes again to the expectations, right? So I have, I've been involved in politics before I ran and stuff like that, but I would say that, you know, I've been humbled enough times in my life to realize that I'm not always right, right? Mm-hmm. By the way, I hate when that happens, I think, like anyone else, you know?
Right.
But when I say, like, my life basically has just been one struggle after another, you know, which I think, to me, has built, like, a really strong character and diligence in me. And I think a lot of people go down to Juneau and they have false expectations of what they can accomplish, right? I got to Juneau. And I had, you know, I had some misconceptions as far as how efficient I could be and productive I could be. And then I quickly learned the system and I say, okay, this is just a situation in life where I'm going to have to outgrind a lot of these people. I'm going to have to endure a lot of these things in order to achieve a goal. And at the end of the day, it's not a house of cards. It's not a game of cards. It's your life and mine. So Brett, to me, what makes you a good assembly member, right, is you already had a life in a productive business and you ran for a reason and a purpose, okay? Like you actually want to achieve an objective.
Right.
And it doesn't bother you if you're not going to be back again to achieve the objective, right? So my mentality going down was, look, I'm gonna be the state representative. I'm going to represent the people in the interior the best I can. And at the end of the day, if they don't like the job I'm doing, they'll get rid of me, you know?
Yeah, voters are pretty good at that, you know.
But in the meantime, I'm always going to do my best to articulate my decisions, to work hard. And when I say, like, when I look at a lot of these folks, you know, I know that if it's a if we're in a competition and for a battle of an idea and the playing field is equal, I know that I will win that 9 times out of 10 because I will just endure. I will outlast and I will grind them out, you know.
Well, and if you just stick to the facts, you know, the classic, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts. And I think, you know, what I see in my limited time in government so far is that people let emotion start to rule the day. And
100%.
This is not about emotion. The stuff we deal with here at the local level and even at the state level, it's just simple. It's money, money, and money is pretty easy.
Yeah.
And policy. That's it.
But exactly. And remember, you got to work with people to achieve the objective. So I constantly ask myself, you know, people ask me all the time, why am I not more vocal about this thing? And why don't I get more upset? Why don't I do public posts? Why don't I go give a tirade about a thing? And I said, yeah, there, a lot of these issues, especially some of these extreme social issues, folks, I find abhorrent. Okay. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, I have to deal with people who believe in some of the nonsense. And, you know, and my objective is to do good things for Fairbanks, okay, to actually achieve the goals that help everyone who lives in the interior have an easier life, i.e. lowering energy costs, i.e. gas line stuff, that type of thing. So I'm not going to run my mouth and do potential damage to that goal just because I feel strongly about an issue or something like that. So when I say I'm, like, very singular focused on achieving outcomes, it's the whole reason I ran for office. And my philosophy has always been, in the event that I'm no longer productive and I can no longer deliver for the people that I represent, I won't come back, you know?
Right. Yeah, I always figured if I sorry, if I ever lost my mind and decided to make a state run. I mean, I already lost my mind and ran for local politics, you know. That's what I would be focused on. To me, this is all about energy.
Exactly.
I mean, especially in the interior, there are so many people in the state that have no clue what we pay, you know, for energy here. And and there are solutions out there. It's just you got to get everybody on board. But unfortunately, you know, we're like an island here.
Yeah, it's 21-11, right? And again, I ask myself every day down there, is involving myself in this or is it getting in this discussion that's ancillary to the primary goal? Is that helpful or hurtful for the people who are relying on me to make their life better? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And like I said, when I have that philosophy, I want to make sure that I'm measured. And unfortunately, it's a lot of personality driven, right? I watched a senator kill a really good bill because he had a headache. You know, and he didn't want to deal with it. So he let it die at the end of a session, you know.
Wow.
And that is, you know, a thing. So you got to be mindful of people because you're dealing with people and emotions and stuff like that. And again, if you want to achieve an outcome and a goal, then, you know, focus on it with resiliency and understand you're going to have to learn how to deal with people. Now, there's a lot of people who are loud down in Juneau, lots of people. But you know what you will find when they're really loud and they post all the time and they take up the issues and to fire up the kind of really people involved in politics, you're going to find that they actually achieve nothing down at Juneau. Like their constituents send them there because they like maybe the rhetoric or something like that. But when it turns in delivering for the people who sent them there, making their lives better, you'll see a lot of times they don't achieve anything.
Yeah, so, well, they get bogged down in the emotional stuff, you know.
Exactly.
And the stuff that really doesn't matter. And right now, you know, we've got folks out there that, you know, they're struggling, you know. And they're struggling under, you know, high taxes and, you know, high energy costs. Like I say, you talk to people down in Anchorage and,
they
don't have a clue what it costs to heat there. They just don't know. So, all right, Fairbanks, well, we're going to go into another break here, and we'll be back right after this with more from Representative Will Stapp.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, and your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center provides free, confidential pregnancy tests to any woman in need, but they offer so much more to women, men, and families. By participating in one-on-one parenting classes selected by you, you can take advantage of Earn While You Learn, earning valuable credit to spend on children's items and clothing in Maria's Boutique. The Find Out Free Pregnancy Center, call 907-455-8255 or visit online findoutfree.com, findoutfree.com.
I'm Matt Morgan of Morgan & Morgan. Your car steering wheel could be a ticking time bomb. At least 24 people have died and many more injured because their airbags fired shrapnel at them upon inflating. Tens of millions of cars have been recalled. If you suffered cuts that required stitches, hearing or vision loss, or broken bones, please contact us today. You could be owed money for medical bills and other damages.
Morgan & Morgan. Visit us at badairbags.com for an office near you. Prior results do not guarantee a similar outcome.
Wow, it's so good to finally be back home.
Is it me or is it musty?
Oh, damp. Check the bathroom.
Damp!
The basement?
Damp! Wait!
Yeah?
I'm ordering damp bread!
So we don't have to move?
Eliminate damp, musty smells by trapping excess moisture. Get rid of the damp with damp bread.
KFAR weather.
More clouds than sun this afternoon, with a slight chance for rain. High of 68. Winds out of the south, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, slight chance of rain. Lows dip down to about 51. Slight chance of rain tomorrow. Highs level off around 68. Overcast skies. And that's your weather on KFAR, 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Laura Lockwood.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
All right, folks, welcome back. This is Brett Roderman, your guest host today, pinch hitting for David. And with me, I have Representative Will Stapp. Will, so I put a caller on hold. It's been a while since I've run this.
I'm still here.
He's still here. All right. So go ahead, caller.
This is Tom Kennedy, and I can tell you, Will does do. He's one of these guys, if I have an issue, I can contact him, and he will do something. We have other people that are in our local area that say they will do something. They'll take credit for doing something, but they won't really do as much. They'll just get the credit. They'll try to get the credit at the end, but Will really is a doer. That's one thing I'll say about you. The other thing I was going to say is, whichever candidate going for governor makes the an action plan for, you know, fish and hunting resources, makes that as their central part of their platform, is going to win. You know, whether it's mismanagement of the Neltina, mismanagement of the 40 mile, whether it's understanding climate change and our fish populations, whether it's making a solid push so that everybody can have access to a lot of the resources. You know, now people who are wealthy, you have 185, you can go out to moose camp. But for a lot of people just, you know, hunting along the different areas, it's a tough go. It's a tough sled. Caribou, all our military folks, they really like going on the 40-mile hunt. And, you know, it's just really tough. So I think whichever, you know, gubernatorial candidate really focuses on looking at the resources in each area, making an action plan to come up with a sustainable yield for Alaskans, I think that person wins.
Yeah, I have a appreciate the call and the praise, Thomas. I'll tell you a quick story. I'll start with a quote, right? So when Winston Churchill was on his deathbed, President Eisenhower went to see him, and he left the room after he said he saw Winston Churchill. And a reporter asked him, how was Winston? And he said, I just said goodbye to Winston, but you never bid farewell to courage, right?
Yep.
And the fisheries issue is a big deal. So I was just in Unalaska at a regional conference down there, Dutch Harbor. Okay, this is the home of the trawl fleet, folks.
This is a good story. I've heard this story.
And I sat on a stage, right, with with the trawlers and the people live there, and they said, you know what, the Board of Fish is rigged against commercial fishermen, and nobody understands that bycatch isn't an issue. It's really the orcas, and you guys need to make sure that you protect our industry and stuff like that. And I'm on the stage with five people, and one after the other, at least four people. Remember, the commercial fishing industry has a lot of monetary resources behind it.
Oh, yeah.
And these people say, oh, yeah, you know, I did this and I did that. And I was the only one up on there on stage who didn't vote to confirm this particular individual to the Board of Fish on the whole stage. And I said, hey, listen, guys, you know, I've come out to Unalaska a lot of times. I said, but look, if I go door to door in Fairbanks in the interior, and you know what no one ever tells me? No one ever says, hey, Will, I think that you should triple bycatch for king salmon to help the trawl fishery out. No one ever says that. And I said, you know what they do say? They say, hey, you know, when I go to Ruby or Gleaner or Kayakuk or something like that, they say, you know, my kid is now 15 and he's never run a fish wheel, or she's never run a fish wheel on the Yukon for kinks.
Yeah, the salmon are being flown in.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of never swimming up the river.
You know? And they say, you know what? Our you know, we've had generational folks live here forever. We've never done any of that. And I said, like, what are you supposed to tell those folks, right, that your industry, as sloppy as it is, you know, and then they'll say something like, well, you know, we only bottom drag 15% of the ocean floor. It's not that big of a deal. I said, well, tell that to somebody in Kayakuk. Tell that to somebody in Galena, you know. And the reason I started with that quote is because one of the things that makes me very irritated about politicians, right, is when I ran for office, I told folks, look, I'm going to do the best I can to articulate what I think and make decisions based off whatever data I can process. And you know what else? I'm not always going to make the right decision, folks. And if at some point I make a bad decision, I'll own up to it, take responsibility, and move on, because that's how I've lived my life, you know. But I'm not going to pander to people, you know.
That's who you are.
Yeah, I mean, I don't pander to people. Everybody knows me knows that. Like, I tell folks what I think to the best of my ability, hopefully as tactfully as possible. Not always, you know, but.
Well, and you truly are representing what interior Alaska people think.
Yeah, exactly.
Not everybody lives on the coast.
Yeah, yeah. And then, you know, you try to explain the differences. And don't get me wrong, like, I think commercial fishing is an amazing industry, you know. But what cost? I mean, how are you going to prioritize people who don't live in the state of the people who do, especially when it comes to personal use subsistence, right? There was an amendment on the floor this last year for a fisheries bill, just to let everybody know. The amendment says when it came to subsistence fishing or personal use, the residents of the state are going to be prioritized for personal use over the residents who are not here. Okay? Two interior representatives voted no on that. They voted to prioritize people who come here out of state for personal use fishing, right, than the people who live here, right? Why did they do that? Because of the pressure and the politics of their organization. And they're both Democrats, right, just so you know,
yep.
Right? And when I saw that vote, I went over to him. I said, how on earth can you live in Fairbanks and vote against our folks who go to Chitna for some trawl guy out of Seattle? Like, how do you vote that way? You know, you think no one's going to know in town that you're in the pocket of these people because you're in an organization that says that you need to vote a certain way? I said, like, how do you tell people that? You know,
at the same time, they're the ones that have their pictures of them going down dip netting.
Oh, of course. But you know what I mean? Like, I couldn't, in good conscience, go here and talk to somebody I know from Kayakuk and say, you know what I did in Juneau? I voted to protect the trawl industry at the expense of your kids' heritage. I'm not going to do that, you know? I'm not going to do that because somebody down there in Juneau tells me to do that. You know, I'm going to tell them in a not polite way to go away, you know? So.
All right. Well, good.
Well, thank you.
Yeah.
All right. That was a good call. And it's all true. You know, Alaska is a huge state. We've got a lot of issues, you know.
Yeah.
But, you know, a lot of these issues, you know, somebody's issue, you know, the trawler fleet doesn't realize what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
To interior Alaska.
And that's the other thing, too. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't cater to people who live in Anchorage, you know. That's the other thing I can't understand by some of the people who are elected here in Fairbanks. Like, they have nothing to whine about. We can go back to education funding. I talk about how I voted on that to support the override, to vote for overriding. But I would constantly tell people in Anchorage when they would complain to me about their Ignite program or their, you know, their whatever extracurriculars they had. I said, like, no offense, man, But I have constituents that are important to me. I mean, the people I represent. And I don't, you know, I mean, I don't live in Anchorage. I don't want to live in Anchorage. You have representatives who live in Anchorage for that. I'll always meet with folks and be polite. But again, remember, my job is to prioritize the people that I represent. And when your interests hurt our interests, I'm never going to be on your side.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's the whole point of representative government.
Exactly.
You know? That is literally the point of the whole thing.
Yeah. So I bring the fisheries example up because it's egregious and abhorrent, you know, and they shouldn't have voted that way, and they know that. By the way, I've told them both personally, you know, that I can't believe that you guys did that and you bowed to that level of pressure. You know?
Yeah. So. Yeah. Pretty sad. So back to the, kind of the governor thing. Got a couple of minutes left here. You know, what's kind of your impression on how things are already starting to shake out?
So I like a long-term view here. Guys, we have a positive future in Alaska. We have a renaissance on the North Slope with oil and gas development, okay? We don't want to screw that up, okay? We want to maximize that that development with this federal administration for the time it's in existence. And we have great opportunity to, you know, develop that resource, okay? So the first thing that I tell governor candidates, they all ask me, Will, are you going to support me? And one of them, you know, came up here and this person says a bunch of nonsense. This person promises everybody everything. Oh, vote for me. You'll have a full dividend. You'll have $1 billion for school funding and we'll have unlimited amount of oil. Yay. Everything will be great and it'll rain candy. She goes like, hey, will you support me? And I said, come back when you're a serious person. You know what I mean?
All right.
Like, how are you going to do that? How are you going to tell people a bunch of lies, not deliver on anything just because you know it's popular with people?
Yeah, right. And it's going to make a good headline.
Like, I'm not going to support anybody. I want somebody running for governor to say, listen, guys, listen, folks, we have challenges. It's going to be a challenging 2 or 3 years, but there's light at the end of the tunnel as long as we make good, productive decisions. And this is the time in life, if you're an Alaskan, where you got to buckle down and you got to drive forward, because when we enter the decade of the 2030s, we're going to be in a great position as long as we don't screw it up, okay? So we're going into FY27, where you're ahead budgetary-wise. We have 3 more fiscal years we got to get through in this state before we have big increases in productivity and revenue. And that'd be without a gas line, right? Hopefully we're going to get the gas line. We can talk about that another show. But I mean, like, okay, so we have 3 years not to mess this up. And the desire from some of these people to mess up potential development, which could be the difference between 650,000 barrels a day of oil and 1 million barrels of oil a day. That's the big difference, folks. That is unbelievable that you would take a calculated risk like that for short-term gain. Don't do it. Buckle down, grind it out, and let everybody know ahead of time. Just be honest. Be like, look, it's going to be a challenging 2 or 3 years, but there is light at the end of the tunnel, and we will move forward.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, I've been here 34 years, and we are on the precipice of something really big. You know, when I came here in 1991, you know, we were sort of kind of, you know, on the downhill slide, and it kind of continued, and all of a sudden, it's just like the planets and the stars aligned, and we are right here. Yeah. You know, Prudhoe Bay is on the verge of exploding again.
Yeah, it's a renaissance, and like I said, and then we have the gas line. And keep in mind, folks, the beauty I tell folks about that gas line is we are going to know in a finite way, in a relatively soon amount of time, whether or not we will have that project or not.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think Glenn Farren is supposed to get back to us.
December-January timeframe. Yeah. And maybe they get a little delay, but we'll know within the next year. That's what I tell people. We will have a finite answer whether or not this project is going to happen or not.
Right. Well, we are at the end of the show here, and I really appreciate Will coming in here and talking about these issues. I'll be back here tomorrow on Problem Corner. I've been your guest host, Brett Roederman. I will see you tomorrow with Tammy Wilson.
Your voice, your station. This is KFAR Radio, Fairbanks, the heartbeat of Alaska.